Turundusraadio .
Hello, dear listeners, and welcome to our marketing radio talk show number 283. I'm Anu Malnarits from the Institute of Marketing in Estonia, and today I have a guest who is Tanya Piha from Bondia via internet connection. Hello, Tanya.
Hello, Anu. Nice to be back, and I'm thrilled to share my experiences in growing companies in the Baltics and in the Nordics.
Excellent.
Turunduse tulejoonel.
And for the others who maybe don't know, Tanya was also a presenter in our Tallinn Marketing Week, sharing her experience how to do growth hacking in a company that is probably one of the most conservative, really, what you can think in the business world. Do you agree with me?
I totally agree with you, because there hasn't been much external forces in the legal industry to drive the disruption in that industry. And we still see lots of attorneys at law offices who operate in a very, very traditional model. But Fondia has been on the leading edge in disrupting that industry in order to be more customer driven and really kind of a proper professional services firm, where we exist, that we create a great workplace for our people, and then we provide legal department as a service for our customers. But of course, as we've been one of the few in the world who's doing this, it's been challenging, but we are really happy that we are growing and we are attracting lots of customers in all of the markets where we operate currently.
Can you tell me, what do lawyers think about if you tell them that now we need to do growth hacking?
Basically, what we have done, we have rebranded the word growth hacking, sales and marketing. And what we do, we speak about customers.
Okay.
And I think that's something that really resonates well with all professional experts, as with the lawyers too. And I think we are lucky at Fondia, because we have really experienced, really customer-obsessed lawyers who feel that they want to do this. But if I would go and talk only that now you have to do sales, you are forced to do cold calling, that would kind of change the whole attitude, and they don't want to do that. And that's why we've been really careful to rephrase the word sales, and we speak about growth, we speak about customers. But of course, it comes down that we need to be proactive towards the customer. We need to find ways how we can attract new customers. And I think there are a few trends that play in favor of Fondia and all of us who play in the professional services field. Because if we think about B2B market that I'm most experienced in, and sales growth in that kind of a environment, there are a few trends. We see that the buying behavior of corporate customers is changing. We see that people, those decision makers, are humans, but they are more content driven. They are not only gathering information about potential services that they might want to learn more about only via personal connections, but they are looking for content in the digital world. And that kind of requires that we as companies, we provide better ways to engage with us basically 24/7 in different digital channels. And that buying behavior is one of the trends that's affecting us too. And the other one is analytics. We are all talking about data-driven companies, and we are kind of thinking, how could we better understand at which point we see a valuable sales opportunity? And of course, there are lots of people who speak about machine learning. I have myself been thrown into that world, and I've taken a couple of courses in that one. But to be honest, I'm way too beginner in that field, and we haven't been really utilizing that. But I'm sure that there will be commercial ways how we can be better in machine learning. But I see that these two trends, the analytics and data that's available for all B2B growth hackers, plus the buying behavior is customers, is something that is changing our working landscape, and it forces us to change. But I'm also convinced that some of the parts that kind of come from the old world are still going to be present for some years, or maybe forever. That's something I would like to discuss with you.
Absolutely. I wanted to just ask that, or not ask, but comment. In Estonia, I see that, as you say, that in professional services, it's increasing trend that you have to be available 24/7, really. And in Estonia, one of our major banks, SEB, with Swedish roots, they have found out that there is a big trend that people want to have video counseling or counseling over Skype, and not even during the daytime, but more in the evening or maybe later night time. And now they already opened a new, I don't know, service that you have the can have the counseling not only voice-based, but also how the language is called when you use only hands.
I know what you mean. Yes.
So that they seem to test, and I see that at least some of the tests are really kind of showing positive signals in the market and positive adoption curves. Do these type of trends mean for your lawyers that they have to work also 24/7? And are they happy if you tell them that, hello, tomorrow you start 2 a.m. with your night shift?
Yeah. Actually, that has been the trend in the legal industry, I think, and that's one of the turnoffs why young people don't want to make a career in the traditional legal business. And that was actually one of the key things why Fondia was founded, because the founders wanted to create a workplace where really experienced business lawyers could have the kind of a challenging work life, but also a personal life, that you have a really good work-life balance. And our lawyers can go and pick up their children, like our values in the Western world. We want to spend time with our family. We want to have a personal life. And I think that's where the machine learning and all the new digital tools come in, because what I see currently is that we want to provide the best workplace for our people. And it means that we work like, not, I don't want to say office hours, but I don't see that we want to create a workplace where we have people working in the night shift. But of course, if the customer buying behavior is changing, then we need to think, how could we support them when they need us? And I think most of the business decision makers, they prefer to sleep at night, and that's something that should be encouraged for all of us. But however, we see also that from the traffic data that lots of the CEOs of growth companies, they come and look for information from our website after 10 o'clock in the evening. We are using HubSpot as our marketing automation tool, and then we can of course see if they have been downloading some of the digital material that we have provided there. And then we see that they are using their free time to look for new possibilities, how their legal services could be handled. And that's coming to the content creating strategy, that do you need to have a person available at 2 a.m. in the night? No, I don't think so. But yes, you need to have great content in different formats for the different stages of the buying process to support your potential customers for getting that information, guiding them through onwards, and encouraging them to discuss with you during the office hours. Because I still think in the B2B world, most of the business is done during the kind of office hours. But you're totally right, that trend is coming, and it's been in the B2C world quite long, that if I want to do something with my insurance or a bank, basically I expect that they provide service after the office hours. And that's what the banks in the Baltics and Scandinavia are currently doing.
Absolutely. I was just wondering that, as we have another trend in Estonia that says that people like to have kind of, not more and more, but there are some companies who try to say that we have, let's say, summer offices somewhere else outside Estonia. And then why not to have a summer office in Caribbean? Because of the time difference, they are the ones who could work nighttime for us.
Yeah, true. Very good idea. Very good idea.
And I think they would love to be there half of the year or some months and not thinking about really, is it night shift or not?
Exactly, exactly. Very valuable proposition. And we see, like I've seen the trend in the IT industry that they sometimes take their, the whole firm and go somewhere. But it's not kind of a business model. It's kind of a some kind of a prize or trip for the people who have succeeded. But that's a really interesting suggestion and it should be worth looking into.
Good.
Yeah, who would love to go to Caribbean to work?
Excellent. So it means that actually it's not about so much forcing your current people working long nights to satisfy the customers, but finding different ways of doing it.
Yes, and I think what comes down when we're talking about professional services firm and really experienced, trained, educated experts like lawyers, like doctors, like architects, and so on. So we need to understand that they can do their best for the customers when they are well rested, they are motivated about their work, they are well led, and they have lots of autonomy how to do, but also that the processes and ways of working support them and makes it easier for them to help the customers. But then I think smart companies need to kind of create better go-to-market engines if we're opening a new country. So where we combine the cross-functional activity involving sales, marketing, HR, IT, and then we use some technical digital tools that would generate, for example, better leads for our lawyers, and we create an engine where the expert can focus more on the kind of a current job and other functions within the professional services firm, make their job easier. Because I think that's one of the key issues in driving B2B growth is that you take the best parts and you really, really aim high. And that's how I see growth, because it's all coming down to an end that we can talk about sales and marketing, but at the end of the day, it's not really a matter if you're selling a product in B2C or if you're selling services in B2B market. The core offering, what you are selling, is it a product, is it a service? It needs to function. It needs to fulfill the needs of the customer. It needs to provide value. But I think that that's not easy either. How do you make great products? How do you concept great services? It's not easy. But once you have that, I think the engine that is creating the growth hacking elements with modern sales and marketing, great go-to-market plans and that are executed with great digital tools, that makes a difference. And what I see, if I look about the companies that I talk here in Finland or in Sweden or in Estonia, I think we sales and marketing people, we are sometimes a bit far away from the business decisions. We are too much working in silos that we are not measured with the same metrics as the business is led. And that has been something that I feel really strongly that you cannot succeed in a sales and marketing organization if you do not have a very clear ambition to make the firm succeed in terms of revenue, in terms of profitability, and in terms of great customer satisfaction. And then once you have these goals clear in your mind and you share these common targets with your team in sales and marketing and with your kind of a, for example, in our case, with our lawyers. And once you start working together towards these goals, I think that makes growth quite easy. Because it comes down that, okay, you can have the great product, you can have the great go-to-market plan, but if different people, different departments are going into various directions and they kind of do it like they want to do it, it doesn't result in growth. And that's why I see that we need to bring people more and more together, gain understanding about other disciplines and work together with people. And that's something I feel really strong about.
Tanya, can you give me a concrete example about a good working, let's say, well-oiled marketing machine?
I have actually a few examples, but I want to share one that comes kind of from the really couple of years back when I was working at the operator Telia. During that time, I was heading our entrepreneur segment. It was a 100 million euro business, so pretty big if we think about from the normal terms, but really small if you think from the operator's business. That's really small, that the big guys who run the business, they let you do what you want. But I was heading that segment 5-6 years back, and when I started, the business was suffering. We had a situation where our revenue has been in steep decline for many years. Our profitability in that business was not good. Our customers were unhappy. We didn't have any offering for those customers. The entrepreneurs in Finland felt that their operator Telia did not like them, did not want to serve them, did not have any products that would interest them. And as a fifth thing, our sales channel people did not want to sell to these entrepreneurs because their incentive model was wrong. And of course, we didn't do any marketing activities towards these customers. So basically, a situation that you cannot go any deeper because we were in trouble when we started. But what we started to do, I think it's really kind of a simple way of getting your business plan in place. What we did, we first looked, okay, these are the numbers. So I think it's really, really essential that any business leader, any marketer, any sales director knows where the business is going and what the numbers look like. So my first advice would be get to know your numbers. The second one is ask and look what your customers are thinking and what their expectations are. We conducted a really, really extensive survey and learned that, okay, all these things were making them unhappy. And then once you get that information, we felt that it was really essential that we combine that customer insight to the feedback we got from our field salespeople. And then once we were able to respond, okay, this is what the customers would like to have, easy to buy solution that's kind of a fast and meets their need. They can budget their IT and telecoms expenses in advance, and they would like to have the best smartphones for them and their employees, and they would like to know how much it costs per month. Then we created this package that was easy to sell, easy to buy. We put the incentive model for our sales organizations ready. And then it's kind of then it's easy. Then it's really simple. Then we created fantastic multi-channel marketing campaigns. And it's just, you start learning by doing. And we spent so much time with our customers. We spent really much time in a dialogue with also our salespeople, because at that time we were working with a multi-channel sales channel network, that we had our own shop, We had our dealer network, we had our inbound sales, we had our outbound sales organization.
Thank you for sharing the very good example that I think that a lot of businesses can learn from. I wanted also to discuss with you about, as you have experience in working in different markets, and of course the growing mindset is different. Can you tell me how different it is if you compare, for instance, Sweden, Finland, Estonia?
Of course, great leaders are universal. I have the privilege to work with great Estonian leaders. I can mention our managing director, Antti Kodar, who is really growth-driven. I've been working with Valdo Rulain, who is now working with the tax authorities. And there are great people also in Finland and in Sweden. But of course, if we look at the structure of the companies in all of the three countries that we're now talking about, and I think the number of growing unicorn companies in Sweden is kind of a much, much higher than what we have in Finland and what there is in Estonia. And of course, the experience, if you have lots of companies who are going global, who are growing, who are working with B2C markets, and they are showing lots of growth in several years or decades in a row, of course, that creates different competencies among the business world in that country. But basically, there are lots of differences because if I look back like 10 years when I was a bit younger, I thought we are much more similar in the Baltics and in the Nordics. But what changed my attitude was when I went to Norway to work 1 year at Telia in Oslo as a commercial director there in the B2B business. And I really lived in a foreign country for 1 year and learned that the cultural differences among different nations, that they are real. And the stage where companies in different countries are also different. During that period, I learned that in Norway, for example, some of the digital marketing things that we had been doing for years in Finland were totally new in Norway. And that's, of course, if we come back to Finland, Sweden, and Estonia, there are differences. And I think if I think Estonia is probably very, very good in creating digital companies. I think you have lots of great companies that have started digitally and they are growing exponentially. But at the same time, what I see in Estonia is that you are, as you are a bit smaller than these other two countries in the population, and it could mean that you are, how I see it, is that you are more like networkers. You really kind of go and do business within the networks. And if I go to Sweden, of course, I see that there too. But it's probably not that important. And that's where we have been utilizing just buying some customer lists and contacting them, and we have been able to generate sales out of those kind of a cold lead list. And I don't think that would work in Estonia. I don't know, what is your experience in kind of a contacting just cold leads in Estonia? Would you think that it would work there?
I think the problem is that we don't even have the cold lead lists. The only list you can, okay, there are several ones, but I think the most popular you could use is the list from our credit authority. Yeah. But it's not much information you get from there, and I really doubt, of course, sometimes it works really if you really need to target very specifically companies who are within a very specific segment. But yeah, in general, it's really, really hard work.
Yeah, that's my experience too. So probably we've learned something there. Mm-hmm. But of course, I think it comes down to the cultural differences. We are all different. You are like, we are all our own nations and we have our own cultural differences. And then our company structure in each country is different. In Sweden, there are lots of big firms, in Finland less, and in Estonia, I think you have the same situation that there are not so many huge companies. And that's kind of a creating an atmosphere and the structure that requires different kind of a tools. But at the end of the day, it all comes down that we are doing business with people. And it's people who are trying to interact with other people. And that's what sales and marketing and growth hacking is all about. And that's good to remember that we shouldn't be too afraid of the cultural differences. But what I've learned is that it's really, really crucial to have good networks and great local people who help you if you are expanding internationally, that help you to navigate in the new country that you are going. So your go-to-market plan should involve that you send your company people there to make sure that the culture and brand and other parts are implemented well in the new market. But from my experience, it's really, really, really difficult, if not impossible, to succeed without local understanding of the business life.
I do agree. My very final question is that to sum up the podcast today, just what would be maybe the best examples you have learned that you think that a company from any business could benefit from us, not only any legal bureau or any telecom company?
I think it's that you create a culture that attracts and keeps great talent. You give people freedom to be themselves and innovate, and you encourage in every day that you have a growth mindset. And I think that's kind of I've been lucky to work in that kind of an environment for actually all my professional life. But we all have responsibility as colleagues and co-workers to create an atmosphere where people can shine and do their best. From my experience, people want to succeed in their jobs. And I think as leaders, we need to create environments where people can shine. And I think rest will follow.
Excellent. Thank you for the inspiration and for your sharing, because I think that it's very, very good to learn from the best ones in the world.
Hey, thank you so much, and I hope you will have a great coming week, and thanks for this session, and hope to hear from you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you a lot. And dear listeners, this was our today's show. Please listen us again in a week's time. Meanwhile, you can find our podcast also in SoundCloud and in Delfi Tasku.
Sulle meeldis Turundusraadio. Telli endale meeldetuletus järgmiste saadete kohta Marketingi Instituudi kodulehelt.